Welcome, After Buzzers. You are watching the House of Cards After Show, chapters 59 and 60. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome, After Buzzers. We are back again, chapters 59 and 60, House of Cards. My name is Shaka Smith. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
Hey guys, I'm Taylor Gates. You can find me on Twitter at @alphabet_Ann and on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_.
What is going on, guys? I am Kevin Ellis. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @TheKevinEllis.
Wow. Well, we're down one, but we'll have her back next week.
That we will.
But what a... I don't know. For me, these were very frustrating two episodes. Sometimes I wonder if they make this thinking people are going to binge it. So then, yeah. You know, you get it all in one little thing.
Sure.
But things are moving really slowly in so many ways. But we got chapter 59 started off pretty explosively, though. Mm-hmm. Claire and, of course, Frank go at it. Yeah. What do you guys think about the dynamics? Frank is not really content to sit back here, huh?
No. Yeah, not at all. I always think it's interesting, especially that scene, because they're fighting like children. Like, it's so childish. Like, you have some of these scenes where they're, like, so serious, like, smoking cigarettes on the patio, and then you have them just, like, going at it. Like, they're, like, siblings. I'm like, what? Like, what is this shift? Like, it's just really kind of entertaining and, like, very surprising to me.
Agreed. Frank is feeling really threatened right now. I think that's what it really stems from, is he's feeling so powerless. He doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
But I really feel like that, yes, these were two great concepts right at the beginning of the episode. Each one, we've got a Situation Room crisis. Mm-hmm. We have the Elysian Fields, which is a very interesting conspiracy theory that is a real life thing.
Yeah.
But I found it fascinating that we had these awesome concepts, and I just feel like the execution was a little poor.
It felt a little flat, right?
Mm-hmm. It really did. I just felt like the Situation Room thing, there was a lot of tension. And the reveal for the true cause just wasn't as, knock yourself out that I really wanted.
Yeah, and we're getting some funny tidbits. So we got Mark Usher. Mm-hmm. So that is where this fight stems from between Claire and Frank. So somehow, and I guess I get Frank's upsetness about it. Somehow she's made a deal that Mark Usher is going to pick, or Conway's going to pick, the next Supreme Court appointee.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even understand how we got there.
I agree. Yeah. It was very confusing. Out of left field. I didn't even know how we got there from episode, what was it, chapter 58 to this.
Yeah.
It made no sense.
So somehow they've struck a deal, and now we're going to have the elections in the two different states.
Right.
And so they're now faced with this big crisis with, Ahmaud.
Mm-hmm.
What did you guys think about this war room scene?
I liked the threat. I think that it's very real life. It's very presidential. This is something that we could see totally happening in the real-life White House. So it was cool to see. Then there's this existential threat of a terrorist attack on the White House, possibly on the White House because this nuclear vehicle goes missing, so they didn't know where this vehicle was. Interesting how they left out Seth and Leanne from this. Like, they felt really left out, which was fascinating to see.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting, too. I did like the plot of them, like, being trapped, like, underground, though. I think that's always a smart, like, writing move, is to, like, trap people in the same area, like, not having them, like, being able to get out. And, like, the fact that they don't know what's going on either, I think that just added a whole level of, like, confusion that I thought was really interesting and kind of, like, a bold and, like, kind of sort of cool choice for kind of the middle of the season.
Right.
And we get introduced to this Jane Davis, who actually, I think Jane Davis and Mark Usher, even though Mark Usher is, like, really introduced kind of very sketchily,
mm-hmm.
I'm liking this, like, I like his character. I like Mark Usher's character. I like Jane Davis's character. What do you guys think about... Because she comes in very mysterious. All of a sudden, she's very powerful.
Yeah.
What did you guys think about her introduction to the Oval?
Somebody we'd never dealt with before, so it was fascinating to just see this person who does wield so much influence, especially behind the scenes, too. Which you would never suspect. She just seems very soft-spoken, and yet she wields a ton of power.
Yeah. I really like her. I like that kind of air of mystery she has. I know in chapter 6 she's like, I'm playing for all sides. Like, I work with everybody.
Which is really... So, you're in the White House.
She's
kind of
sketchy.
For our side.
But Patricia Clarkson plays her, like, so phenomenally. Like you said, like, she's so soft-spoken, but she's powerful, like, and you can just tell.
And she's dealing with all of these odd issues herself. Mm-hmm. Like, she has, it seemed like there was a little claustrophobia, mm-hmm. you know, not necessarily a fear of being buried, but a fear of actually, like, you know, of heights, is it? I forget, it might have been a role reversal there. I might be wrong, but it was just kind of interesting to see how she was just this very, I don't want to say troubled, because that's not accurate.
Yeah.
But just one of these individuals who just had a lot of baggage almost.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of unassuming.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
And we did get a brief shot of, was it Kathy, Claire, and Jane in the Oval. And it was just a woman. Did you see that or notice it?
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely did. I think that's been kind of like an emerging theme of this season, is kind of like
female power.
Yeah. And so I definitely noticed that and think it made an impact.
Agreed.
And so it looks like Jane believes she can get Amadi out. She's got some special contacts.
I love how this individual, who actually, she works for the government. Yeah. She works for the administration.
Yeah.
It's so odd that she plays this weird third party role, even though she's working with them. But she has these built up contacts that she's made throughout a career of doing no idea what.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if she can figure out who Alamadi is working with or working, you know, and who is actually working with him is really the key, I guess. That's why they didn't want to lose him. That's why they didn't want to kill him. It becomes a really screwed up situation.
Yeah, and I think, for me, my favorite line was when they're getting whisked away to that room, Claire goes, "Is this real?"
Yeah.
Yeah. It was great. So genuine.
Because she knows, like, this is the kind of stuff we do. Like, wait, are we doing this, Frank?
Right.
What did you guys think about how that unfolded? Because it turns out it wasn't really real.
Wow. I go ahead.
Yeah, did we determine like the Conways, their kind of team doing it?
More or less, yeah. It was General Brager.
Yeah, with Brockhart, it looks like.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone's just starting to play hardball. Like, everybody knows that they're going to have to, like, go to, like, the Underwoods levels or close to it to even have a shot.
Well, Brager even made mention of that towards the end, especially when he was, you know, reflecting with Claire upon why he felt he needed to take this action. And, like, Frank called it a coup to begin with.
Yeah.
But Brager was in that point of view where you shouldn't have been president to begin with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he felt like this action was necessary. But truly, this is the type of thing that all democracies worry about, is some type of military coup. And it, in some respects, came to fruition here, in that you had a general who is going above his rank to try and create a situation that would, you know, make a political proceeding. It would really have screwed up the election.
And to me, I've loved House of Cards. They're starting to lose me here because, as wild as everything has been, there was possibility. My mind could go there. I cannot possibly see two generals deciding this is what we're going to do in order to win this election. Yeah. It just seems so far afield. Are you having a believability problem at all? Because that for me was a little tough.
It's a lot to risk, especially with the war on terror. It doesn't seem like something that somebody would go out of line for, especially once you make it that far in your career. Is it worth the risk?
Yeah.
Is he that against Frank Underwood and that pro Brockhart, pro Conway?
Yeah,
just doesn't seem it.
And we have that tape of Brockhart. What did you make of those words that he said? Because it almost implicated assassination, almost, right?
Yeah, there are very strong words. I love the scene at the end of the episodes where Frank just makes him listen to it, like, right in front of him. He just holds up his phone. I was like, oh, this is a savage move right here.
And then Mark knows right away, too.
I know. That, it's strong words. Like I said, everyone's just going more and more extreme to try to compete with each other, and I think that they've said in the past episodes that this whole situation is kind of like uncharted territory, and I think that they're definitely playing on that, like, how would people react with, like, these extreme issues kind of emerging.
They're going harder than Iko right now.
Really.
Well, it's a fascinating idea that they would do revotes in Tennessee and Ohio just to begin with. So you're fighting for two states to win the presidential election, and Frank made it apparent that it is much more easy easy to corrupt individuals when it's that much more on a small scale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, it's crazy to see, and then we see that with Elysian Fields.
Yeah, and I hate that I'm seeing this or feeling this. I'm seeing a little bit of Doug and Leanne.
I know, right? I know. You and I are kind of we're on the wrong side of history here, it seems.
Well, what are you guys thinking? I hope it doesn't go any further than it looks like it's going.
Well, there's this like joke on the internet that Doug only goes for like pretty brunettes, so like Leanne fits the type, and they are starting to get flirty. Like,
I fully thought Doug might go for her. I just always thought Leanne would be shutting down from miles and miles away.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I feel like she's getting more kind of like desperate and on more like uneasy footing though. Like when she and Doug were watching Hammerschmidt on the news, like you could just tell there's that flicker of like doubt and like uneasiness in her, and I feel like maybe Doug will be who she turns to in some messed up way.
Well, yeah, you bring up a good point in that she feels very closed off from everyone else. It feels like she has less of a relationship with Claire than she did. It looks like Aiden has gone behind her back and gone a totally different route, so she is feeling very susceptible, and I'm sure that Doug is the one of the few people that she can truly trust, so it makes sense for her to lean on him.
Yeah, and kudos to them as actors, because I never felt they had that kind of romantic chemistry, but now I'm starting to feel it, and I'm like disgusted by it.
I'm like, totally repulsed.
And then we have Claire and Yates, and this is coming out of left field for me. I don't know what's happening.
I don't buy it. I love you, or what did she say? Like, I feel like I'm starting to love you too or something. Yeah. I just, that's not Claire. Like, she seemed just, like, so different in that scene to me. She seemed so out of character. I had to, like, rewind like, is that Robin Wright? Like,
I'm hoping she's playing him, because that's the only way it makes sense for me.
You would think. I don't know what to think at this point, because everything leading up to this season, we have felt like Tom is just on the out. We're theorizing his murder.
Yeah.
And at this point, now he's confessing his love, or professing his love, and now it's...
And she didn't seem to be the type to be like, oh, you're writing novels about me, I love you.
Yeah.
You
know? Right, right. It's totally out of left field. I'm not liking it.
I hope we get some real answers in this couple episodes.
It's just true. It's too dramatic of a shift for me. I'm like, she's got something up her sleeve. Like, I didn't buy that scene at all.
If anything, maybe the writers are making the mistake, as we're pointing out, they're making the mistake of simply bringing out this, or they're amping up the stakes with this relationship, saying that now love is a factor, and now you have at the end of episode chapter 35, or 59, that Frank has in his, you know, in his hands these two photos, several photos of Tom with the tour guide for the, you know, for the White House.
Which also didn't make sense to me, because, well, because did Frank think that Claire was in love with Yates?
I think he is under the impression that she is growing a love for him. I think that Frank is under that impression.
Because the last few episodes, she's been really getting closer to Frank.
Well, she has, but Frank necessarily has been from the point of view that, oh, it's kind of a lost cause, I've let it go. That's why her advances haven't really had much of an effect on him. Yeah. You know, she has volunteered to, you know, follow him. You know, when they were on the rooftop, it seemed like she was making advances.
Yeah.
When he surprised her in her bedroom, he was just, like, you know, dismissive of the fact that she wanted to go make something to eat for him. So he's not, he's from this point of view that, you know, these two are together.
I get it, they still have the smoking scenes. And
that's what I'm saying. I'm not under the impression that Frank's jealous, because, like, if you look at the past seasons, like, she's always had, like, side people, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm supportive of that. No, I am supporting that he's not in a jealous.
So I don't understand why he has these pictures. Like, I don't know how he thinks they're going to be useful.
Agreed. Maybe. I went on a tangent that was supportive, but seemed like it was dismissive. Yeah.
A little confusing, but and then even more confusing, we open up 60 with this, and this huge ceremony, and this is ripped right out of real ceremonies that take place.
Yeah.
And so, but women and presidents, I thought that was bizarre.
Yeah.
No women or presidents. I would think you'd want the presidents there.
Right.
You would think. I don't know why that rule is... is there.
And of course, it's all the major players at this great little weekend right before the election.
Yeah.
What did you guys make of this?
Well, I had no idea this was, like, based on a real thing, and so I genuinely thought that I had, like, accidentally clicked on The Handmaid's Tale or something. I was like, what's going on?
But, oh, no spoilers. Yeah. I haven't watched it yet.
But, like, I thought it was interesting, like, another interesting choice right in the middle of the season to kind of split him and Claire up and have him on this woodsy retreat.
Yeah. What do you think?
Very peculiar. I mean, it does put both of them in their most, I guess their best element. You have Frank, who is, you know, whipping up votes in a way, in essence, you know, or at least that's what I wanted it to be. It didn't turn out that way, but I wanted it to be that. And then you had Claire, who had to deal with Petrov.
Yeah.
So I liked the setup. Again, I feel like the execution was poor.
But because it seemed as if Frank did change some minds during this weekend,
In the scale that I wanted it
but
to.
But to people that revile him. So that I was like, how is he even changing minds at all? I thought everyone just hated Frank.
Yeah, you have a polyhop guy that's totally doing a 180. It didn't make too much sense. I guess they played it off as he just did not feel like Conway was the guy.
The only way it makes sense to me is if they're trying to play Frank. But, like, they gave him some pretty damning evidence to do so with. So that they now, like, Frank now has this recording of Conway in the cockpit.
And he wasn't asking for much either.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, who was it? It was Benjamin Grant was the guy. It didn't make too much sense. And then you had Raymond Tusk, who I love the fact that they made another cameo of him.
Yeah,
because it's fun when Raymond makes another appearance. It didn't offer much.
But yeah, I like his character. I like his persona. But why?
But why?
A little bizarre, but I did like that Claire finally got to kind of be in the White House by herself. She is the president. You know, Frank, like, hey, it's me.
Yeah.
So what did you guys make? I love the way she's handling this whole Petrov issue with this Russian boat and her skepticism of Jane. What do you guys think of that dynamic?
I'm with Claire. I'm very skeptical of Jane. I still don't know what her endgame is. Again, she could be playing all sides. But what benefit is it to her other than continually controlling the situation or at least having influence on the situation so she doesn't lose allies? That could be the only play. But at some point in time, you gain enough power to where you feel like you can, you know, wield it how you want it.
Yeah.
Or at least, I don't know. I don't know what her end game is.
But I just loved, because Claire basically was me in those scenes. Because, like, I had to say, I was like, but what about you? What are you? Because I feel like you have some stake in this, right? Did you feel that way?
Yeah, kind of. I feel like Claire is always a little bit more of, like, the reserved skeptic, and Frank, like, kind of makes pretty rash judgments, and I don't know. I feel like Claire kind of sits back, but I can see, like, Jane and Claire, like, working together almost. Like, I don't think Claire is, like, completely writing her off as, like, someone they don't ever want to work with or... But I liked the dynamic. I liked the kind of emerging, like, relationship between them, especially because it is, like, another kind of woman that she's working with, and I think that's just building to be sort of an interesting, like I said, theme of the season.
I'd like to see a little bit more of a building relationship between Claire and Kathy.
Because
I love Kathy Durant. I know that she made some plays last year in season 4.
But that beer pong scene was great, right?
And the beer pong scene was great.
Amazing,
So I would like to go back to those moments between the two of them. I just don't feel like they lean on her for any sort of advice, which is a shame because she has diplomatic experience and she does know the players involved. So
yeah, they tend to be pretty dismissive of Kathy.
Yeah, they are every single time, especially when Kathy offers her advice and Claire's like, I want to wait. And it doesn't play.
So what do we think Petrov was up to? It looks like he was there trying to get some oil, maybe, and, like, trying to take advantage. But he's got some... The American was the technology, and I was a little confused by that. What did you guys make of that?
Him being the geologist was interesting, the fact that he was the target the entire time.
Yeah. Wait, he was a geologist? I missed that.
Yeah, I think he was geologist, if I'm correct in saying that, or at least something I thought.
Yeah.
I might have. Hey, guys, if you're in the chat room, I think I could get you guys on my mobile. But, I felt like it was an interesting play, but I don't necessarily know why the Chinese were truly trying to support Petrov and all of that. It still wasn't clear.
Yeah.
It
made no sense. Unless they're truly collating together and... But again, Claire was very, very untrusting of the Chinese, thinking that just a loss of life is not enough to side with the Russians, which might be true.
So, but it seems like the Chinese wanted the tech either for themselves or to rescue it for the Russians, right?
It's possible. It's possible that the Chinese took him off the boat and are hiding him altogether themselves. We just don't know yet.
Or he sank and went down with the boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they... I think that's what they implied, at least.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think... Well, I don't know if he did.
Because there was no Americans on the boat, and the Americans were... We led the thing, even though we made it seem like the Chinese led it, but we led the rescue.
Right.
And we never found any Americans on the boat.
Right.
So the
idea it's not like
is,
he's going to stay on the boat, and...
No, because we rescued everyone.
Right. It's not like... Well, exactly. Like, yeah. The fact that he didn't go down with the ship is what I'm saying.
I think he might have gone down with the ship.
Yeah,
You think that the Chinese might have intentionally killed him?
No. Because remember, the Americans, we are the ones that did the actual rescue.
Well, I thought the Chinese did the rescue in the end.
No, we made it look like the Chinese did it.
Yeah, okay. for optics. So we made it look like it was Chinese
Thank you.
Led,
okay.
but we led
I'm
it.
On, it was, I'm on board.
No pun intended. Yeah, so... I guess it's got to come out to fruition. But it's almost like they wrote these in consideration of the fact that people would binge them.
Yeah. Agreed.
Because I'm just, like, completely a little bit lost here.
Yeah.
Right after last week making the comment that I thought that this would be great episodic television, and now they're throwing us this.
Yeah.
Where, truly, you have to binge watch it.
Yeah. What did you guys think about that dynamic with Frank and Doug and trying to get the intel?
Weird, just like a whole weird scene. I always kind of feel bad for Doug because he just like especially in those situations where he can't like reach Frank, he just is panicking, and you can just tell that he's just like floundering around, like he needs him there. But I'm kind of wondering what Frank's angle is going to be, because did we really get closure on that? Like what he actually wants to do with the tapes?
Well, not from Frank, but it looks like they somehow recruited Conway's guy,
Mark.
Oh, that's right.
And so Mark has got a strategy to release everything.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
I mean, do we trust this?
I think we do. I think Mark's making the smart play, especially with his interactions with Will in recent episodes. He knows full well. Yeah, he's unhinged. He can't trust him. Conway's not on board. If he can't elect Brockhart, which now that they have the Brockhart tape and the Will Conway tape, it just seems like... Mark has no play here other than to side with the Underwoods. Makes sense?
Yeah.
So I think that this is smart for Usher. Whether or not we can truly trust Usher, I don't know. I have no idea. And what is... I guess the biggest question that I had at the end of Chapter 60 is, what is the point of having Usher on the Underwood team to begin with, when the Underwoods don't even need Usher at all? They do not need him to release these tapes. So what is the play? Is he going to be able to do something about Aiden? Is he going to make some things disappear like Hammerschmidt? I don't know, but why can't Stamper do these things? Why can't Leanne do these things? It just seems odd to add another party into this possibility.
Very confusing. Speaking of Hammerschmidt, it looks like which I'm just getting tired. Like he keeps getting closer and closer and closer and closer. Like he's like an asymptote. Just gets closer and closer and closer without actually touching anything.
Never reaches the point.
Right.
So what do we think about Hammerschmidt? He's now tracked down his apartment. He knows Doug Stamper has been there and paying the rent. What do you think about this?
Like you said, I don't know that he's ever going to figure it out. Like, this poor guy's been working on this for 5 years now. Like, he's just never going to get there. I don't know. Like... I think we've been saying for the past, like, couple episodes, like, he's, like, I still think he's out. Like, he's gonna die soon. Like, I just really feel like he's a goner.
I find it, I don't know, because I was looking at the episodic count for every actor, and I think he was at 52 of, 60 episodes?
Oh, wow.
So I'm just thinking how big of a part Hammerschmidt has been, and, like, behind the scenes, very small cameos that even in, season 2 when, what's her face?
Zoe?
Hey!
Yeah,
Zoe.
We've already forgotten about her, you know?
God.
Like, geez.
Isn't that amazing that Zoe was all up at, like, season 1 and now she's just gone? And
we barely remember her, and that murder was the biggest thing ever.
It was the biggest thing. And that was a weird thing for me because I was going from season one to season two. So I literally, in the same day, had bounced from this high of like, all right, end of season one. And then all of a sudden I'm like, what the hell happened to Zoe?
Me too. That's how I watched it. I was like, wait, Zoe?
My roommate and I are just like standing up. Oh, God. Yeah, crazy. But yeah, I don't know what's Hammerschmidt.
Well, I mean, I do think, was it Sean?
Sean, yeah.
I do think one of them is due for murder. Because now yeah. Doug knows that mm-hmm. they've been sniffing around the widow. And, yeah. and you saw Doug's look. He was like, oh, someone came to you for a story?
Right.
So, yeah, do we think Doug is going to go ballistic here?
Well, I don't know what's going to happen with Seth. Seth is playing a wild card role. He's either making an ally in Sean and bringing him into the White House, possibly for a communications position, which... I don't know if that's going to be like a double operative type move here.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily bode well for the Underwoods, I would think, because what asset does he offer to them? What kind of trusting role?
Yeah, and do we think Stamper's now going to make some moves now that he knows the reporter's been sniffing around?
I think he's going to make some moves, but I think I feel like the only time we've ever seen Doug like really lose it was when he killed Rachel, so I feel like he's going to do it in like a kind of subtle, kind of sly way, because that's the Doug way, you know what I mean? Like, he's going to make it disappear quietly.
I'm with you, but I feel like Hammerschmidt's a hard person to kill.
Yeah. Yeah.
This case is so public, and Stamper, he's already shown that, yes, he's really calculated, he's cold-hearted, but he has left some loose ends.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, especially with the emotional attachment to Rachel that did not play well for him.
Yeah.
I don't know. This could be the end of Doug Stamper, and... it could be a situation where Doug might have to go down before the ship sinks.
Yeah.
Like, he might have to kill himself or something like that, which is a sad, wow. really hard prediction. I don't want to make that because he's, again, Frank's my favorite character, and then I got Stamper, so I don't want to say that would happen, but, like, I'm trying to think, to save his boss... And if something happens with his current girlfriend, if nothing happens with Leanne, what does he have to live for?
That's
other
true.
Than his
true.
Boss's loyalty?
And, like, would Frank, like, I bet he would, but would Frank betray Doug if he was, like, put in the position to? Like, that would just be crushing.
Yeah, I think Frank
like,
would.
He would
that would be suicide
probably.
Enough.
Yeah, yeah
if
that's
Frank
true.
Truly let down.
Underwood. But,
oh, God.
Did you guys see any symbolism in a... Because I had to stop for a second and pause the screen. I was like, he's knocking over this big sculpture in front of the Bill Clinton. Was that bizarre?
Yeah.
That was Washington, right? That was George Washington bust?
Yeah. And with Bill Clinton in the background.
Right.
Massive painting.
Huge painting of Bill. At the end of the hall, too, which was interesting.
Did y'all...
Your face.
I was just like, that was
You're, like,
so
trying
weird.
To process this.
It was so weird.
I was like, why?
Yeah.
And it almost took me a little bit out of the House of Cards deal, because I was like, Bill, like, because they never make reference to these past presidents at all.
Right.
So what did you guys think about that?
Well, we've seen Ronald Reagan, portraits before. There's been allusions to different presidents, especially standing in the White House. They'll look at them. There'll be a contemplating moment. I'm trying to remember exactly what happened. Oh, what happened beforehand? He was trying to...
Didn't he just leave the bunker?
He just left the bunker, and he was going on over... he was going on over towards the general to have that meeting to find out whether or not there was a military coup. I mean, Washington was the first president. He was the individual who... I think he called for term limits. And so I'm thinking about... I was thinking about that.
And then impeachment, maybe?
I mean...
Clinton was impeached.
I thought it was on the nose for like the husband and wife political. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, that too. But they've never really even like. Yeah.
There was no reference to what it really meant, and we might have missed something. Again, guys, hit us up in the chat or hit us in the comment section.
Of what you think it symbolized?
Comment section for sure, because.
But no spoilers. No spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers. Yeah, no. I was looking up stuff with my brother the other day, and I had House of Cards up, and he's like, oh God, don't look on the right. And he had to like move the screen because he knew full well that there were spoilers on there.
We're doing so good, guys.
We are.
I know. Like, I'm surprised I haven't like come across anything quite yet. No. So, I guess let's go ahead and go into our predictions. We've already touched on a few, so let's get that music going. Yeah, that's it. That's
and
a good
now,
stuff.
You're after Buzz TV.
It's always that awkward silence. I don't know what to do when he's going. I don't want to talk over him.
Like, dance around. Like.
The silence is deafening.
We gotta put music to it and then do like a little silence. Yeah, what are predictions,
man? Yeah,
we'll
start with you. You already got one. Doug Stanford, suicide, apparently.
Suicide, Jesus. I'm just coming. Dark stuff.
Yeah, now we don't know where to go.
Yeah, I'm thinking that... I mean, I have to think, what, we're at, through episode 8 of 13. Something big has to happen with the end of this election. I don't know if these Conway reveals are going to be enough. Something tells me that there's going to be... Frank said that there is not going to be an October surprise anymore. Like, this is it.
No.
I feel like that there's going to be an October surprise for the Underwoods because there has to be something to make this more of a challenge.
Everything's working out pretty well for them, actually. Like, remarkably kind of well.
Definitely. So I feel like that could be something that happens these next couple of episodes, is something to truly throw the Underwood camp in a 180.
Yeah. Well, I've kind of said some of them. I think both Toms are out. They're dead.
Yeah.
Like, we're getting rid of the Toms.
We gotta get rid of the Toms.
I really think we are. I think that Jane is going to stick around and possibly work with Claire on something or another, because I just kind of see that maybe blossoming in a way. And I feel like we might... I feel like we might not get resolution to the election until like the final episode, because they've dragged it out this long before. Mm-hmm. We didn't see, did we even see the Conways in these two episodes at all?
No,
I don't think so.
I don't
no,
think we did.
I don't think we've seen the last of them, definitely. So I think they're gonna drag it out until maybe the end of the season.
Yeah.
You saying that makes me want to go the Stamper route.
Right?
I'm like, I will just poke my eyeballs out if they do not, like, resolve this ace. Because there was a moment where it was like, the election will be over. We'll know by next episode for sure.
Right.
You know? So I do predict it's got to be resolved in the next episode. It's got in the next two, for
next
sure.
Next two, okay.
It has to be. We have to move on from this darn election.
I'm thinking it's like the last two episodes. I'm with you on this.
They've
one.
They've already gone this far.
I'm going the next two. Within 9 and 10, 61 and 62. Like, it's got to be.
Something with Aiden.
Oh, I see the Stamper suicide. Aiden. Aiden. Maybe it's possible Aiden was... somehow the tech, even though it's a different person.
Ooh.
But maybe he was, they were hiding him and he was the tech, because that part made sense to me. I was like, who's this other person? So maybe he's got a different moniker or whatever. And then I think we're going to see Claire, I believe, is playing Yates. I think she's playing him, because this behavior makes no sense. And I think they're somehow playing the Underwoods.
Who's that?
Poly Hop guy. I think that whole group is playing them.
Okay.
Why did they give him the tape so easy of Conway in the cockpit?
Yeah.
That was bizarre to me. Mark Usher's like, oh, yeah, I'll join the team. I see where the wind is blowing. So it was too easy. Too easy. So I think Claire's playing Yates. That group is playing the Underwoods.
Interesting.
I don't know exactly how, because it seems like they're getting everything they want. But because they're getting everything they want, it makes me feel like they're getting played.
Yeah, there's a there has to be a catch.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, I think someone's going to have to die in order for the Underwoods to win. And it's just a matter of who.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hammersmith, I think they're probably going to go with, like, maybe a stroke or, like, a, you know, something they cause that it just shuts him up.
Stroke.
But I don't necessarily think Hammersmith will die.
Okay.
I think, if anything, Sean is probably going to go.
Sean could. That's not far-fetched.
Because he's sniffing around the Widow, and Stamper doesn't play that, so.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah, hey, it's going to be an interesting couple of episodes. I hope that it picks up. I'm excited to watch these next two.
We're
getting there.
A few more, so it's time.
Definitely.
So, like, pleading.
Well, guys, if you guys have any comments for us, leave it in the chat or leave it on the video.
Totally.
We'd love to hear your thoughts. No spoilers. But yeah, this was a good one. Well, I don't know if it was a good one, but I have hope for it getting better.
Yes, indeed.
My name is Shaka Smith, guys. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
Hey, guys, I'm Taylor Gates. You can find me on Twitter at @alphabet_Ann and on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_.
Guys, thanks for watching tonight. I am Kevin Ellis. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @TheKevinEllis. Guys, thanks for joining us in the chat room. If you guys were in there, but know that you guys can always find us on SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, all three venues.
Yes. Okay, we'll see you guys later.
See you guys. Take care.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.